Hello and welcome to episode 114 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Think.
This week, Derek's going to open a whole can of worms.
So grab your USBs and ESVs and let's get started.
Before we get into our main topic, though, I want to tell you guys about our sponsor this week, which is Missional Wear. Of course, your Reformed Theology gift shop. They have lots of fun and beautiful designs to put on all sorts of things, whether it be apparel or drinkware or other accessories, with creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers available for printing. Their collection of items to choose from is massive, with pint glasses, bow ties, hoodies, cutting boards, mouse pads. It's just crazy. There's something there for everyone, especially if you're into the reformers of old. You can check their selection out at missionalwear.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. And thanks to them for sponsoring Tech Reformation this week.
All right, Derek, fire away.
So today, I wanted to bring up again the tech neutrality discussion.
No.
And I...
Wait, you're being serious?
I am bringing a little bit.
Oh my gosh. How did I get tricked into this? Am I getting punked? Where's Ashton Kutcher? Where are you, man?
I said we were going to open a can of worms, and you know, here we are.
It's like a bait and switch.
Yeah. There's a particular debate going on in this great country of ours about technology. That
you mean this great country of ours, like Tank, Derek, and Ben's great country, right?
Yeah, like not Craig's, basically.
Okay, yes. Yeah, not Craig's country.
Not that Craig's country isn't great.
No, you got a good country. You have a nice hand me down there from
amount of deadly animals. Yeah.
But anyway, okay, it's not really about. It's kind of about tech neutrality. But there was a recent shooting at Parkland High School. It was a school in Florida. I think that's the name of it. And yes, yeah, so I wanted to bring up the topic of guns, mostly because you hear this discussion all the time. So whenever a shooting happens, there's always a lot of debate around guns. You know, what are the things that cause these shootings? How can we keep these from happening? There's a lot of defensiveness on both sides, and all that. I don't want to get too bogged down in the details of like statistics and this works in other countries. Well, I'll probably get into a little bit, but not super deep into statistics, because once you get too deep, you can start bending statistics whichever way you desire, and I just don't want to get into that. I'd like to stay more at the philosophy of looking at guns as a technology. And following on from, if you've heard our various tech neutrality discussions, the viewpoint I posit, and that I think we're kind of sort of agreed on a little bit, is that technology has an impact or an effect on how we interact with the world. Is that fair?
Yes.
Technology provides the occasion in which we might be tempted to sin.
Yeah.
Or enabled toward godliness.
Yes. So when you have access to a technology,
wait, we have to celebrate.
Yeah. Ben just fist pumped in the air.
I'm just kind of surprised right now. Oh, this is great. Okay.
But that's kind of the baseline I want to go to. You can frame it in different ways. I might frame it a little bit differently to emphasize a different aspect of it. But generally, I think we're agreed that that technology can provide opportunity for good or evil.
Yay.
Cool. All right.
That's so neutral, good or evil.
No sign of Ashton Kutcher yet. I'll let you guys know.
Okay. But so to give an example, like my life would be very different if I had no access to a cell phone than if I do have access to a cell phone. Like, there would be certain things that I would not be able to do without a cell phone that with a cell phone I absolutely would do, because why not? And those are the things that I want to do.
But can you dig a hole with a cell phone?
No, you need a shovel for that, but we can get into
it. Aha! Okay, I think I would understand the analogy a little better with more shovels.
Back into shovel reformation.
Ben's just trolling the whole way through this segment.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's going to cut out.
I'm channeling my inner Hayden right now. My inner reformed beans.
Yeah, just like it's kind of a rule that you and I disagree on everything. It's like a rule that Hayden and I disagree on everything too. It's a shtick in the Slack now. Join us at slack.techreformation.com for more. So I wanted to bring this up because I think it's important to think about guns as a technology with this kind of stuff. The right, the conservatives, which I have historically been a part of and still am, would assert that, what's it called? The slogan is guns don't kill people, people kill people. And I do want to say that is absolutely...
I'm not sure if that's ascribed to the right more broadly or the NRA specifically. It seems like it might be the latter.
Well, yeah. Maybe they get conflated a little bit, but the people who support guns, I suppose, would be very much on the side of guns don't kill people, people kill people. And I do want to specify that, yes, people who shoot people with guns, that is intensely a human problem. People are sinful, and thus they kill people. And you know, there's this whole thing brought up about, should we be looking more at mental illness, caring for people? There's an article floating around. There's a way to stop mass shootings and you won't like it. And it's basically, you know, love your neighbor is essentially the outcome of that. And which I would agree, that would solve the entire issue completely. It would also require us to not have police or government or anything, because if we all loved people exactly right, we would not have this issue. However, we also need to keep in mind that we are sinful people, and sinful people have sinful desires, and given access to technology, there will be incidents that occur. What do you guys think of that so far? Am I tracking okay with you guys?
I'm going to inject one thing after when, like, you just finished with saying, like, these things happen because of sinful people, right? I think the question really is prevalence, or like frequency, like how often do they happen? What sort of scale do they happen on, and that kind of thing? Because yes, there will always be sinful people doing sinful things, but I think the question needs to move to how do we limit the ability for sinful people to carry out acts that aren't just sinful and affect them and maybe one or other person, but can have like a large scale impact that can actually be... Well, guns can be deadly, right? So, like, there's an end of life issue, and there's also a big, like, a broad scale issue there.
I have a solution.
Yeah,
move to Australia.
There's no mass shootings in Australia.
Preach the gospel so that the Spirit of God causes people to be born again, and they no longer want to kill others.
That is a great solution, Ben. Except for the fact that sin still happens in our
world. Well, and the gospel, right, has been being preached in America for how many years, and there's still these things going on. Hey, it's not that it's a wrong answer. Ben has the right answer, but
yeah, no. He definitely does have the right answer.
The trouble is that there will always be, as we know, people who buck the gospel as well.
Yeah, people can hear the gospel and reject the gospel. This is the problem. So we get to the point of how do we stop this, right? So, of course, there is a bunch of pushes towards banning guns and getting rid of guns, you know, or getting rid of the guns that would most effectively be able to be used for people to kill people on a whim. So I am actually on the bandwagon now as the, you know, slowly moving left person to enact some sort of technology ban on guns to a certain extent. Because it seemed, yeah, I know, right? It
Okay, wait a minute. So let me just make sure I understand you. Derek,
yes?
You are saying that you would like to ban guns in the United States. And Craig, you are saying we should ban guns in the United States like Australia banned guns in Australia.
Not quite. Not quite.
Okay.
I will say that I don't know how exactly this should occur, but there absolutely needs to be more regulation on guns. We need to raise the wall higher so that the people...
Wait.
Yeah.
More regulation on guns is not the same as ban all guns.
Well, you're the one who said ban all guns.
I said some sort of technology ban on guns. Yeah. Like...
some level of ban.
Some sort of...
complete ban.
It may have been a poor way of putting it, but we need to... I am fully in support of limiting the technology, like limiting the owning of this technology to weed out some of the people who would use it poorly. Does that make sense?
Okay, so you're not saying that you want to ban all guns in the United States of America. That
right.
is the question I asked because of what you said. Craig's right. I did ask the question that way,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just trying to make sure that I'm understanding you. You're not saying you want to ban all guns in the U.S.
No.
Okay, Craig, are you saying that?
No, and I don't think that's practical for a few reasons, but I think mainly if we take what happened here as an example, we had a mass shooting and it was, from what I understand, a mentally unstable person shot up a place, killed a whole bunch of people. I think it was 30 people or 50 people, might have even been more. I can't remember. It was a long time ago and I was really young. After that, the government did what was called a gun buyback. So they actually purchased, from what I remember, they purchased people's guns back from them who'd bought guns. And then for a period of time, I think there was like a gun amnesty as well after that. So you could, and there's been one more recently as well, where you can give your guns up without any penalty. And that seems to have worked really well. The difference in America, I think, is a cultural issue where people are so used to the idea that it's an actual human right to carry a gun that I don't think you can say let's ban them completely, but I do think there needs to be much stricter regulations on who is and isn't allowed to own them and why, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking with a coworker who hunts. He hunts, waterfowl, and he's super into that. He loves it. So he's a gun owner. We were having a really productive conversation about it, and he's like, "Yeah, I mean, I understand. I could, if there was a gun shop right here, we were driving. I could go in and walk out with a gun in the next 20 minutes, and they don't know me from Adam." And this, so there is a very dangerous technology that's allowed to be, that is very easy to use, that can be acquired by anyone. And yet, even though it's easy to use, it's very hard to, I mean, it is a skill. So like, it's not like anyone can pick up a gun and use it effectively to defend themselves, but anyone can pick it up and use it to cause great harm. So this is kind of where I'm coming from. And I totally understand how much fun shooting guns is. I have shot guns at a range and I have quite enjoyed it. I totally understand that the skill of marksmanship is a fun one to have. I love my iPhone with a passion that is very great, that I imagine that most gun owners have that same passion for their phones.
For their guns.
Yeah.
Not for their phones.
Sorry, yeah. For their guns.
You said phones.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm too much in my head about this. But I think it would be reasonable to tie back access to guns on this point. Just thinking philosophically about it.
Okay, you're just thinking philosophically right now.
Yeah.
Okay, never
yeah.
mind. I'm trying to jump the gun here. Pun intended. you haven't yet offered us policy prescriptions. Like, we should pass this law that does this thing that will measurably decrease the number of, let's say, mass shootings or the number of gun
deaths. Okay, here's one. Here's an example one. Unless you live in a rural area where you need to defend your livestock and your farming area from pests, or you're in an area that does not have adequate law enforcement. So you're a long way out. The nearest sheriff is however many miles away, and it could take them a long time to get to you if you're being attacked or something. You probably don't need a gun.
So okay, wait. Sorry. You have to have a healthy appetite for nuance if you're willing to have an extended conversation with me. Mm-hmm. I think it really frustrates people. But
no, that's fine.
You just said you probably should not have a gun. That's very different from
okay.
The government should take your guns or not allow you to have a gun.
The government should not allow you to have a gun. The problem with that is there are cultural issues in America where certain American cities I would not feel comfortable living in without a gun. And I'm someone who's not pro-gun. So America as a whole needs a mindset change as well as a legal change in this area.
All right, second question. Are you saying that people in well-policed suburbs should not be able to buy guns, Craig?
I'm talking it needs to be more than that, because otherwise what you've got is in poorly policed suburbs that might have just as much potential for gun violence. Just because there's less police there, you're saying, well, those people can have guns and these people over here can't because the police go there more often. That then becomes like an us versus them. Well, let's just move to that neighborhood or whatever. Like, that's not – it has to be an across-the-board thing.
So, I thought I was
the fact here is I know that I am not qualified enough to talk about actual policy making here.
None of us are politicians.
And I'm not sure any of the rest of us are either. So I don't know how fruitful it will be to go down what exact policies should we put forward?
I feel like anyone who wants to say anything in this conversation should have to listen to at least 3 hours of Ben Shapiro talking about this.
Oh my goodness. He kind of drives me nuts.
I like Ben Shapiro, but not on this issue.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, the point is you can't just say we need more gun laws.
Why not?
Because what is the, like, that's not any substantial state. It's not meaningful in any sense that anyone can agree or disagree with you.
Okay. But so take my example and push it to the full extent and say, unless you're rural and you've got a permit for some reason, there might be another reason I'm not thinking of. I've just given a couple of reasons why farmers might need guns, right? There might be some other reasons that the government comes up with that people might need guns. But I think certainly in built up residential areas, high population density, where you've already got the potential for lots of things to go wrong if someone has a gun, then that should be massively restricted to basically no one has guns in those areas. It's only people who have permits, and we only give permits out for people who have good reasons, like they're a farmer, they need to protect their crops and whatever, or their livestock and whatever.
For what it's worth, I think that Craig's position is probably the most consistent by way of actually making a meaningful change that prevents more gun deaths. However, it's inconsistent with the current Second Amendment.
Oh, it is, 100%.
Yeah. And I want to make this point really clearly, and I think you guys will agree. I don't think the argument for people owning guns is a Bible argument. I think it's an American Constitution argument. I think that's a really important distinction to make. And so I'm not saying that because of that, it's irrefutable. If the scripture said everybody has the right to own a gun, then we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Right.
But we're talking about the Constitution, which is not from God.
No.
And the problem is there are so many gun defense videos or arguments out there that end with, and this is why owning guns is a fundamental human right, which is where it gets me. That's where it gets me, because all these people conflate a constitutional argument with the biblical argument.
They conflate American rights with human rights.
Exactly. It's this problem of Christianifying America and American political ideals.
What you're looking for is Christianizing.
Christianizing. There we go. That's more of a real word. and that's a lot of where this stems from, too. Guns have been in the blood of America for so long, and also the NRA is kind of a butt about this whole thing. I will defend the against the you can't just say we need more gun laws thing, because the argument up until now has been people put forward gun laws, like people put forward, okay, this is the solution to gun deaths. And then the NRA and its advocates say, no, no gun laws. We can't have gun laws. That's the wrong argument. But, so we're trying to, the people who are putting forth the fact that we need gun laws are just trying to get past that barrier that is so
I didn't say we can't have gun laws.
Right. But this,
I said, let's talk about specific laws.
No, I know. But people have brought up specific laws for a long time, and NRA and the NRA pushes against any gun law that is brought up just based on the fact that it's a gun law. And its constituents are very vocal about not putting any gun laws into place. So it's just trying to crack that shell.
You've now entered into a part of this conversation in which I cannot respond. Because you just said something about the NRA that I have no reason to believe is true other than you saying it.
Okay.
And I have no reason to believe is false from my own experience and knowledge on the subject. So I cannot comment on what you just said.
I understand. If you want, John Oliver has a great segment on it. He's a little crass. I'm sure you can Google and find other things about the NRA. The NRA has pushed for keeping the CDC from even examining the issues of gun violence, like the health. Like they have pushed for regulations to keep the CDC from, you know, examining the public health issue of guns, and things like that. They have a very active argument. Anyway, that's a whole nother topic. You can totally research that. But anyway,
yeah,
that's okay.
And it's also not, the debate doesn't just come from them. It comes from a whole bunch of other people who don't have any affiliation with the NRA as well. I think the point that was raised about, and I don't want to take up too much time because I know I'm not American, so it is an issue that really needs to be dealt with on home soil. But the issue of what was it you said?
We were only kidding about you not being an American. Like we don't actually think less of you for that.
I know the issue of conflating American rights with human rights. Okay, that is, to me, I think probably the biggest, like from the outside looking in, that's the saddest component of the situation, because it seems like if people in America in general, if the general populace, was willing to at least question, or if not revoke, their Second Amendment right, so in other words, give up some personal freedom for the sake of the collective safety of the nation, in terms of that to me is loving neighbor. Like, we want less guns around so that less gun violence is possible, or gun violence is much, much harder to do on the general population, right? So if people were willing to do that, then that to me would be a really critical way of loving neighbor that currently doesn't seem to be on a lot of people's radar. A lot of people seem to be place much more importance on, no, it's my right, it's the Second Amendment, it's the Constitution, we can't go changing the Constitution, even though the Constitution was put together at a certain point in time and some things were more necessary and more important than now. They go, no, it's our right, we have to hold on to it, end of story, not listening to any arguments from the other side. And I just think there's like a stop thing there, like a barrier there that gets put up that actually ends conversation. And then there's all these other things that come out of it, like, you know, the guns don't kill people, people kill people. There's a discussion we can have there about, yeah, sure, knives kill people too, but it's much harder to do large-scale damage with a knife than it is with a gun. But people don't even want to have those conversations because they just go, no, it's my fundamental right and I'm sticking to it. And I think until that changes, people will not allow the government to do one of the things that it is mandated by God to do, which is to restrain evil correctly. And there's heaps of ways the government fails to do that. But I think what I've seen in my own country is that when the government has stepped in to restrain gun violence as a way of evil, it has actually worked. And so I think there needs to be some kind of, you know, opening up of the conversation around, is this Second Amendment right actually loving our neighbor properly? And then people, you know, people take that argument off other directions and say, well, I can't kill the person who's trying to kill my neighbor if I don't have a gun myself. I know it's gonna be an ongoing conversation, and we have to get over those hurdles as well. But I think that's kind of the starting point, is people need to stop clinging to that personal freedom at the cost of the broader safety of the American people.
I agree. I mean, I think cell phones are incredibly important. The internet is incredibly important, both as technologies. I don't think they're fundamental human rights. I think they're important, and I think that the good that comes out of those significantly outweighs the bad. But if it came down to it, if there were, you know, mass killings responsible for only the internet and cell phones, and there wasn't, you know, a significant, you have to weigh the cost. What's the good versus evil on this?
I'm not sure I can quite go in all the directions you guys are going, but I do generally want to make 3 points.
Yeah.
One, it's not a Bible issue. It's a Constitution issue, mm-hmm. which we already talked about.
Oh, you mean, so when people say that Jesus says in Luke 22, we should go and get a sword, that doesn't mean we should all be allowed to own guns? Thanks for bringing that up, Ben.
Oh my goodness.
I've actually heard that argument this week, believe it or not. But anyway.
What was that again?
So when Jesus is about to be arrested after the Last Supper, he says, if you don't have a sword, go and get one. Because he's telling his disciples, we're under Roman rule. They're coming for me. Make sure they don't take you unnecessarily as well, kind of thing. Like, defend yourselves because they're just coming for me. So
that is ineffably bad hermeneutics.
Yeah, but I've heard it.
I'd love to hear from listeners in the Slack this week arguments for and against changing the Constitution. That's one of the things Craig has brought up as a possibility. I'm not sure I agree, but I also am not sure I feel totally informed to take a hard stance on one way or another. So I'd love to hear different sides of that. The second point that I think I'd love to make is by way of personal anecdote. Really, unfortunately, I had the displeasure of listening to an entire sermon on a Sunday morning not too long ago, before the election, about why Christians must vote for Donald Trump and not Hillary Clinton and not abstain. And one of the points advanced in support of that argument, which was the main point of a sermon on Sunday morning at a church.
Oh boy.
One of the main points advanced in that argument was that because of social issues such as gay marriage, abortion, and gun rights, gun control, you must vote for Trump. That right there is the thing that I want to protest most. There is a chasm between abortion, gay marriage, and thirdly, gun rights. Mm-hmm. Chasm. It really drives me crazy when people conflate those issues as if they're categorically the same thing, because they're not.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Totally agreed.
Wait, there was three?
Yeah, there were three. I forgot the third thing. Hang on. It'll come to me if we wait long enough.
Meanwhile, Tank, what is the scope? What is the landscape like in Japan? Just out of curiosity, just to get more of an international idea of guns in general, how they're treated as a technology.
And so when I was here my first few weeks, first month maybe, I asked a lady, what is your thoughts about America? And her first response was scary.
Yeah. Oh.
and yeah, her reasons was they have guns. Japan has no guns. But also, like she said, if I dropped my wallet in a busy place, like I most likely wouldn't get it back. Whereas in Japan, you'll get your things back. I've left so many bags on buses and wallets and chairs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I always find them. but yeah, they have no guns, essentially. They have a few. There's a video that's been going around Facebook about Japan and their gun laws. I don't know if you all have seen it. But yeah, there's my understanding is Everybody in Japan, lots of people in Japan feel really, really bad about the war, World War II, and really like ashamed of what took place in the war. And so pretty much everybody is against violence. If you know, I don't know if you know, but Japan doesn't even have a military that is prepared to attack another country. They're only allowed to have a self-defense military. Currently, it's being argued right now, but people are very passionate about peace. And so yeah, the culture here is like, if Michelle were to be going in Tokyo, 40 million people walking around outside at 2 a.m., I would have no fear that for her safety. So yeah, Japan, all of my friends think in Japan think America should clearly ban guns. Obvious, the obvious choice in their mind is ban gun. Why do they have guns? It's crazy. And they think it's scary that people have guns. But yeah, there's also a very huge cultural gap. And just honestly, people commit violence. There are violent acts. There was a terrible stabbing in a disability center not too long ago. So it happens. But I would say the most common violence is not one of the Japanese's bondages, if that makes sense. There are many, many other dark areas of Japan. But violence is one that thankfully we don't have to worry about.
That's interesting. I want to follow up with something there, but Ben had a thing that he just all of a sudden.
I remembered my third thing.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Do the
but it's
thing.
Unrelated. Well, it's unrelated. I do have one thing in response to Tank, which I'm sure you'll jump in here too, Derek. Other than the full gun ban being requiring a repeal of the Second Amendment, which I think practically probably will not ever happen. But other than that, I think it solves problems that we don't actually have. I do think that it is the only policy prescription I've ever heard that actually fixes the problems that we want to fix, and we all want to fix them. No one wants children, for example, to die at school. No one wants that. Literally no one, other than the guy firing the gun. But I don't understand why someone who has, like, I got a friend whose dad has a gun safe and who he hunts, right? Him owning a gun does no harm to anyone other than the animals he's hunting. And I just don't understand what problem we're trying to solve in taking his guns from him. Like, that doesn't prevent school shootings at all.
Real quick, let me just say something, that there is a clause in the law, in American law, the grandfather clause. This was something I just learned about this week. You cannot make a law that will make something illegal retroactively. So like any guns that are in circulation now, you can't forcibly tell owners to hand them in.
Yeah, so, it would be a buyback program, I'm assuming.
Right, a buyback, but it would be optional. It would have to be optional. You can't do what you did and what was done in Australia because the law just wouldn't allow that. So there is that.
That's a good point of clarification.
So we're kind of arguing a moot point a little bit.
Well, good. My third point was the thing that frustrates me the most about this conversation is when people take the moral high ground as if anyone who doesn't hold their perspective is an idiot or evil.
Yeah, I know.
I just think that is unhelpful.
Those people are just the worst.
No, Derek, I wasn't going to do that, but that's a good point.
I'm sorry. No. I was just messing with you. No, but I understand.
I actually choose my words very carefully there because I always try to say I don't like it when people instead of I don't like the people who.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times people say, I don't like people who. Well, is your issue with the people or is your issue with the thing they're doing? Mm-hmm. And in this case, my issue is with the thing they're doing. I don't like it when people take the moral high ground as if I'm an idiot or evil for disagreeing with them, because that's not always the case. I don't want to see dead kids in schools as much as you don't.
And that's the exact reason at the start of this conversation I said that it is an American, like there is an American cultural nuance to this that is hard to... for anyone else to speak into, if you know what I mean. And I think, like, I don't want to take the high ground, but I can see why it would come across that way that some people do, because it seems like there are solutions that don't get heard or they don't get airtime. They just get shut down. And that I think is where maybe some people start to make it into a moral argument, because they're going, well, we're giving you a way to solve the problems that you're saying you do have, and you're saying, well, we want to solve them, but we don't want to solve them that way. And so then it becomes, well, do you really want to solve them? And that becomes a moral issue. And so I'm not saying you don't, Ben, and I'm not saying the majority of Americans don't want to see less school shootings or no school shootings. But I'm just saying that, and I also think it's wrong to take the moral high ground and speak down to people when you're supposed to be having a two-way discussion. But I can see how that eventuates when, if people keep retreating back to an inability to hear the other side and interact with valid objections to the current arguments, if you like, and to open themselves up to the possibility that maybe the thing that they really don't want to do is actually a better idea than what is currently happening. So it's super hard because people are, for this, this is a very personal issue for people. People have guns and have never done anything wrong with them. They've never broken a law. They've never, they don't even show people they've got one. They hide, you know, they keep them concealed, whatever. People try and do the right thing 99.5% of the time. And there's this small group of people who are ruining it for everyone, seemingly. But I think it's a big enough issue because we're talking about life and death. Like, we're talking about something that can so quickly be used for death, that the discussion needs to move beyond just, well, this is what we've always done, or this is how our country's been set up. And it needs to move to, we are experiencing a problem that we don't want to have to experience in the future. How can we reduce that in a way that's actually going to work, you know, long term, rather than just arguing for heart change, which is all well and good, but will that actually come, and when will that come? There might actually be some other method of intervention that's required.
One of the reasons I've kept saying, let's talk specific policy, is because, as far as I can discern, the let's have more gun laws crowd in general stays general. And then when it gets specific, it's either a policy that wouldn't actually solve the specific problems we've had, or it's like, let's ban all guns and then we have the Second Amendment issue, which we've talked about. So I think it's really constructive for us to have this conversation and for us to be specific. And so, like, a couple of things I've heard that seem really common sense and helpful and simple too, like it doesn't require altogether too much, is to stop glorifying the names and faces of the people who are perpetuating this evil. So quit talking about who it is, because there's such glory attributed to being known for committing mass atrocities that it incentivizes people in a very negative way to do it again, to copycat. And then also, I think, short of a full gun ban, while there are still guns in circulation with people who want to use them in evil ways, why don't we put professional guards at schools? We have that kind of security at banks. And aren't our kids more valuable than our money?
That's so sad, man. That's so sad that you need that, though. Like, I'm not trying to be moral high ground. I'm actually saying, I grew up in Australia going to school that did not have guards or metal detectors at the door. I think it's sad that America needs that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just playing off of what you've said. This is so important that we need to take drastic measures. And if that feels drastic, well, that's just because that's how important it is.
I mean, if that is the only solution that we can come to, that is a better solution than what we have. Sure.
Yeah. Doing anything that will actually help is better than what we've done.
Yeah. So, and that's really where we as Christians entering this debate need to be able to enter it with grace and consideration for everyone who has an opinion. It's easy to write people off. I'm sure I've been written off by several people who listen to the podcast, just because that's the way statistics work. There will be people who disagree with me.
I don't think there will be anyone who disagrees with me.
You know what? That's true. Ben is a general. Ben's a nice guy. He's a likable man over there.
There's probably lots out there.
And if people want to disagree with me, they like, I guess it's different as well, because I'm like I've always stated, I'm from the outside looking in. So in my experience, what I'm dealing with has worked well, but I understand America is a different place. So
often hearing the outside opinions helps provide context. So being able to debate and discuss these important issues productively is really where we have to get. We have to do something, right? something to help, no matter what it is, whether you come from the ban all guns side or the let's just help mentally ill people to keep this from happening. Yeah, figure out a way to come together and find a solution that helps somehow. This is what we should strive for. Love each other and give grace. And I guess that's all I have to say about that.
If you would like to connect with us, you can do so by jumping in our Slack community. Sign up at slack.techreformation.com.
You can hit us up on Twitter at techreformation. Send us your articles, your opinions, you know, whatever. We'd love to hear from you.
And all of our past episodes are locked and loaded at techreformation.com if you want to go and check them out and have a listen through the back catalog.
Very nice. Very
you
nice.
Might even say they're yeah. reformed and reloaded.
Oh!
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, 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 I ain't looking back. I made my choice, and I ain't looking back.
Okay, quick tank before we stop recording.
Before Ben turns off his recording, because it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, don't turn off your recording yet, Ben. I really want to know, how do people view... what video games are popular in Japan? Just going off the fact that Japan so much frowns on violence and guns in general. What is the landscape of video games?
There are... tons of RPGs are very popular. Puzzle games are very popular. And horror games have a decent audience. I think those are the main ones.
So like are first person shoot like
they're not very popular.
First person shooters are not popular. That's really interesting. And that kind of confirms because there's another whole side to this argument that we didn't even touch on about like people saying, hey, video games are to blame, blah, 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 blah. And I actually think it's...
Yeah, I've thought that might come up.
I think that's the other way around, personally, in my philosophy. I think video games with guns are really popular in America because guns are super popular in America.
But I grew up playing GoldenEye, and I'm still anti-guns in general circulation, so... Like I can appreciate the fun of a game which has an objective, which is to take out another person. But I think there's an important thing there of learning the difference between game and reality. And like when you start to blur the lines and go, well, I could mimic the game in real life. That's when it becomes really bad.
Well, and like 99% of people have that
filter. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Like it's obvious. We don't kill people in real life just because we like to kill people in games. That sounded really terrible, but you know what I mean. I don't know. Okay, cool. I just wanted to ask that just for my own curiosity.
Ben, I saw a political cartoon that was had the parents watching TV, and they're like, it was like, oh, we got to do something about these guns. And then behind them, a kid was playing a video game saying, kill them, kill them, kill them all. I was like, oh, this political cartoon is clearly saying the problem is bad parenting. Like they're ignoring their children watching TV and the children are being raised by video games. And I scroll up and the problem was like, kids are playing violent video games. I was like, oh, completely missed the message. I thought it was about bad parents.